Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to New Age Guild Radio. We are a growing community striving to bring you New Age and holistic practitioners, news, resources, and trending information from across the community. We welcome your feedback and suggestions for future programming, and yes, we do take questions on the air. Please visit us for free at newageguild.com to find a practitioner and what's happening in your community and beyond. And please don't forget to follow our program before the end of the broadcast. So sit back, enjoy the show, and welcome to our many guests and our wonderful listeners.
Well, my goodness, good morning and hello to everyone out there. I hope you are having a fabulous day. It is a beautiful day here in the San Francisco Bay Area. And here we are almost to the end of February, and we have a really great guest this morning. So the first thing I want to do is thank everybody for calling in. We have a ton of people in on the phone line today wanting to connect to our next guest, and I want to introduce you to Glenn Klossner, who is a psychic medium that has a really great reputation both nationally and internationally as a renowned psychic in the New York City area. God, I love New York. I'm in business for over 20 years. I've been looking forward to today. Just basically, it's always cool to get a great energy practitioner on the air, but it's even more powerful when you get somebody who's been in business for a long time as things have changed. So do I have you on the air, Glenn? Hello, hello. Let me see if I can click this here. Are you on the air with me, Glenn?
Hello, Angel.
There you are. I found you. Woo! So excited.
How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thanks for coming. You know, you have got a lot of callers in, and it's always exciting to bring different practitioners. One of the reasons I love doing this show. And some people come and they have a handful of practitioners, some people of calls, and some people come, they have a lot of calls because people want to connect. And you've got about 30 people waiting to talk to you. So I want to make sure that we give you the opportunity to talk about what you do, and then if we have some fun and connect with people, that'd be great as well. But I
sure.
really want people to kind of hear about some of your experiences. As I read your bio, and you talk about how you've been doing this since you were a teenager. What was that like exploring the quote unquote spirit world as a teenager, as compared to doing it now?
Well, I mean, I first started recognizing my abilities, as most people do, you know, when I was a little child. Actually, I grew up here in New York, where I live in New York City, and I grew up in an area called Brooklyn. So when I was four, that was when I really had the first experience. But by the time I was 9 and 10 years old, that's where I noticed, like, a lot of my psychic ability was starting to really become more pronounced, of predictions of things. And then it went away for a while, or at least I thought it did, and I got really involved in making music, which I still make music to this day because it's one of my passions. And when I got into the teen years, let's say you and I were hanging out as friends, and I would pick up these things, so it could be about a relative of yours that passed on, or maybe something that you were experiencing in your just regular life, everyday life kind of thing, not regular life, what is the regular life, but your everyday life. And then it was there, but I didn't use it as much in that point. And then once I got into my early 20s, it was so there. Everywhere I went, it's such a long story of how I got led into it. Like, all the signs that were there, all the people that were kind of putting me in my path since childhood, really. But at that point of time, where people were like, I would go to, like, let's say to a, I remember one time going to having a reading with another psychic, and the psychic said to me, why aren't you doing readings? You're a medium.
Right.
She was telling me, like, well, why aren't you doing that as a career? And I'm like, well, you know, and I had this whole music thing going on in my head. And but once, when those signs kept coming more and more to me, when people kept, again, lining up, the universe was lining up, hey, listen, this is your path, this is what your calling is. And it's actually, funny enough, it's even all over my astrological chart in there very clearly. And so even in my name, Glenn Klossner, the words sage and seer, as well as the word angel, are actually in those, my two names there, Glenn Klossner. So it's kind of funny how all that plays a part into it. And once I made that decision that that was what I was going to do, and my intention in doing readings for people was really for the highest good of all involved, to be that messenger in the middle of communicating to people's loved ones and bringing those messages forth to show that there is still life after we leave our physical body. And my intention has always been the same. Really, it's just that of love and for the greatest good of all. You know, that's really what it is, and that healing and peace to people. And through the readings, and I always tell people that our loved ones that are in spirit, including my own, just because they're not in the physical body anymore and don't have the same kind of judgments that we do, that doesn't mean they have any more better answers than you do for things in your own life. But even if a loved one gives guidance to situations such as a relationship or a healthcare thing or career, it's ultimately still up to the person getting the reading to whether to take that advice or not. They don't have to take it. They could dismiss it. But I just always keep people in mind that be in the present moment of now to the best of your ability. But any of those messages, you know, again, don't put it necessarily on your loved one to think that they're more smarter than you and have all the answers than you do.
Right. You know something, you know, you said a couple of things that really resonated for me that I thought were really cool. And the first thing I want to say is, what musician? So you're a musician?
Started off first as a musician. I mean, I still am a musician too. And that's, music and mediumship are so similar, because even when I'm writing songs and the lyrics will come out or pieces of music together, where does sometimes that come from? It's coming from beyond.
Right.
You know, so same thing with painting. Those kind of mediums are so similar, the way that they come through in channeling.
Right. That creative spark, right, comes from...
Exactly.
It comes from spirit, or wherever your muse, whatever you want to call it. I agree with you. I think that's really powerful. And you spoke about the spirit, your loved ones in spirit having messages and having things that they want to say to you. Kind of the same, like mom wanted to help you while mom was here, and mom is still there, right?
Exactly. And they do help us. And even like when I do a reading, of course you want to bring through that evidence. So like if someone's mom was a fan of the Flintstones, I'm just using that as a funny example. Let's say your mother was
a fan of the Flintstones.
I want the spirit to tell me that. So it's valid that you know that there's just no way in the world I could Google that, number one. Number two,
right,
you would know without a shadow of a doubt it is them talking through me. But to get all this kind of like, you know, advice, like what should I do about my job? It's like I give that advice based on what the spirit's telling me, but ultimately always it still goes back, it's in your hands. Your life is in your hands.
Right. And they call that a evidential medium, when you can pull
Correct.
Through stuff to really help people understand that this is real. This is like your mom was wearing that blue dress that day when she went to go see you at your recital. You're like, oh my God, this guy's the real thing. Do you get that a lot when you work with people and give them support?
It varies, because it's really how when non-physical entities that were our loved ones, whether you're close with them or not close with them, had a great relationship with them or didn't have a great relationship with them, it's when they're putting those blocks of thoughts into a medium's consciousness, you know, so we have to trust that. So, like, you know, I may say to somebody, hey, why is your mother showing me Toronto, Canada, even though I've never been to Toronto, Canada, but
right.
I know the name of it, and then you can say, well, that's where she was born, you know, so... It's those kinds of things to work with. It just varies from, you know, again, from spirit to spirit. There's no perfect science to it.
That's awesome. So I have lots of other questions for you, but I really would love to give you an opportunity to connect with the people that have called. So I'm going to ask you, and I kind of ask all of my guests, is do you have any specific asks of people or rules or anything like that before I open up to callers and one question, focus question, you know, whatever that you feel like you want to put out there before we start taking calls?
No, I mean, the thing is just to be open-hearted, open-minded to who comes through, whether you, again, are close to them or not, or had a great relationship with them or not, especially in this case because it's radio and I have to kind of pass through it. And
correct.
So... If the only thing, same thing I have in my private practice is that if you recognize the information that I'm giving to you, let me know, because then there's the validity. And if you don't recognize it, please, by all means, interrupt me and tell me I have no idea what that is.
I don't know what you're talking about, bro.
So this way it doesn't waste any of our time.
Right. And I always like to add sometimes, because we may not be able to get to everyone, and, you know, the divine God brings us all together.
Which is going to be tough for me to read 30 people, to be honest.
Right.
With you.
No, you're not going to be able to do it. So I just want to let the listeners know we all come together. We're all brought together for a reason. And as Glenn is talking to people, I have found a lot of times that the message coming through resonates with me, too. So just listen, like he said, listen with your heart, because you may find that the message that he gives to someone is also for you. That's why you're here. Would you agree with that, Glenn?
Right. The thing is, when I do radio, which is, I don't do radio as much as I used to, but when I do radio, which again, I'm honored to be here on your show today, so thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And so it's not like when I'm in my private practice where it's a little different. In radio, okay, I've got, like, even before you went live, there's a spirit actually been hanging around me. And now the thing is that you have 30 people on hold. The question is, which one does this man belong to? And how do you navigate through that, as opposed to when I'm sitting with a client that's about to have a session with me? So there's man that actually I can say this. Now, the thing is, and I will say this so somebody can hear this, and if you don't get them, for instance, when you're pushing the button to get them on the air, and somebody resonates with this, and they can maybe type to you in a chat room or something.
Yeah.
If you have that.
Yes, we do.
There is a man. He was in law enforcement, because he showed me clearly a police, like a badge to represent law enforcement. Though law enforcement can be variety, so it could be like, you know, FBI, CIA, or regular police officer, but he was in law enforcement. And I do think that he had passed from myocardial infarction, which is basically a heart attack. And so he's referencing those words, myocardial infarction, and a mixture of a little bit some pulmonary. There's some problem in the pulmonary area, too, for him. But he seemed like he's very – the thing that I want to say, though, and maybe somebody will recognize this, he is referencing about some sort of a chest box, and I – like a – almost like a – not a treasure chest, but like one of those chest things that sometimes people have in their home. It's I can't think of the name of it. I'm calling it a chest box, but he's referencing, like, I can see this box that you can buy, like, in sometimes like an Office Depot or those kinds of stores, and you can store like your files in there. But it's kind of a big. It's this chest. It's a chest, and he's referencing it for some reason. So, and I can see like somebody would have kept like photographs in there and all that kind of stuff. So it's not so much that there's legal documents in it. It might be, but there's more kind of momentum in there. And so hopefully somebody will recognize that. But this man definitely was in law enforcement.
So I have a question for you.
Sure.
Is it possible that he was a military police officer?
Absolutely. That's why I said to you before, I don't know what kind of law enforcement. Like if he was in NYPD, because I live in New York City, it would be easy for me to see that. But because I'm seeing him in plain clothes and him holding a badge in his hand, I'm like, okay, I get it. He is, you know, in law enforcement. The question is, what kind?
Wow. My father was an MP, passed away a year ago.
Well, let me ask you, do you know what he was, if this is him, did he have the myocardial infarction?
He had several illnesses. He had pancreatic cancer that caused all kinds of breakdowns in his system, and so his heart did fail there at the end as a part of that.
He's also referring to somebody who's an Aries, but that doesn't really help me because they would have to be very, very specific, you know, to say like, okay, my wife was an Aries or my daughter's an Aries. But he's referencing an Aries person, and something about this chest, though. I mean, I'm not laughing at him. I'm laughing because he keeps putting it in my head that it's sitting in a room and it's this chest, and, you know, you open it up and
there's stuff in it. And there's stuff in it. So if there's somebody else there that feels a connection to that, if we connect to you or you can sit in the chat room, there is a chat room. You can go in the chat room as he's going through it so we can try to help suss this out, because I would love to know if this person is someone who's connected to someone of the show. I've got a little bit of emotions because I have that connection, but it doesn't mean it's me. I'm going to take the next caller and get my bearings while you can talk to someone else.
The man's also saying about something about the father being a Capricorn.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So, you know, that zodiac sign. He's saying the father being Capricorn.
Yes. Okay, my father was a Capricorn. Okay, so...
So it's going to be... I'll just say this to you really quick. It must be something then, okay, so... If I don't know who the Aries person he's referring to. I think it's more female, though. But it could be somebody who's passed on and that's with him. But he's showing me something about this. He's driving me nutty, but in a good way, with this treasure chest.
Yeah. So there's a legal situation, and our question has been, do we have these papers that will reference this thing that's going on? And we've been trying to figure out, do they exist? And what it feels like he's telling me is they do exist.
I would say that they do exist, that if they're in some sort of a chest kind of thing where you could stick, like, you know, again, it looked like you could more put momentum in there, but I guess there are people who do put their legal, you know, stuff in there, like taxes or whatever they would put in there. But it looked to me, the way that chest looked, I wouldn't think to put taxes in there. I would think to put more momentum stuff in there.
Yes.
So, but if it's in there, if it's in a kind of a chest like that would be mixed in, like, with photograph albums, and there's some of these legal papers in there, then that would be it.
Oh, that's crazy. And then the mementos make sense.
Also, does the name Paul mean anything?
Paul is the name. Paula is the name of my attorney.
I'm sorry, Paul is the name of your journey?
Our attorney.
Oh, your attorney.
Paula.
Okay, then this guy talking to me definitely is connected with you then.
Okay. Wow. Well, okay. Let's take the next caller. I'm
so
going to have to talk to you.
Paul became a Paula.
Yeah, it's Paula. It's Paula. It's all just like, that's amazing. Right here over the air. That's amazing. Wow. That's incredible, Glenn. That was really cool. Not just evidential demonstration, but a real solid confirmation. And you know, I'm a medium too, so I get it. And I got the chills. And what you know, for the audience listening, what you did for me in that little brief moment is you gave me a piece of information to confirm something that we've been struggling with. And I've got practitioners in my family. We've been trying to connect to my father and we haven't been able to. And you just, in just 5 minutes, just delivered some powerful information. So I appreciate, thank you. I appreciate that. So I'm going to ask one question. And what I'm getting from the mementos is we have this process because we were estranged from our father where he didn't care about us. And what I'm feeling is what he's saying is that he had the pictures and the memory. That's what I think's in the box, in addition to this other thing, pictures and letters and notes that from us. Am I seeing that correctly? Like
he hears you. So he's nodding his head yes in agreement with that. But there looks like that there's some, like, you know, to me it looks like one of those typical chest that people like would have, you know. I don't have one of those in my home because I live in a farm, as you can only imagine. But
you don't have no space.
I mean, yeah, and I'm not living in some $40 million apartment. So, but there's a that chest kind of thing that's in there, and I think that once it's in, and he also mentioned this name, a man's name, Dave, and that'll be of its significance there.
Glenn, that's my father's name.
Oh wow! And just so the audience can know this, that you and I have never met before. I've never appeared on your show before. You emailed me a few weeks ago about being a guest on your show, and
that's
I said
correct.
That this day would work for me. And I have
that's
not
correct.
Had outside of that you sent me the link for the show.
That's
I've not,
correct.
That's cool. So thank you.
So that's a matter of fact. As a matter of fact, Glenn was trying to get in touch with me, and I was unable to log into my email for 2-3 days. And so I wasn't able to connect with you before the show to make any kind of conversation or arrangements. We literally just – when you said hello, that was the first time we spoke.
Yeah. Well, we'll just talk that email communication up to Mercury Retrograde. So.
That's Mercury Retrograde. That's my favorite answer. That is so powerful. I'm definitely going to take the next caller so I can even process that myself because that was incredible.
Ahead.
Hold on a second. So thank you for holding. Who are we speaking to on the air with Glenn this morning?
Hi, this is Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. You want me to just go right in?
Yeah, that'd be great.
You know, this is going to be a little rough, and I hope what I'm about to give to you, I sincerely hope I'm wrong, to be honest with you. So, not because of Angel's Fall, when I made about that reference about law enforcement, this case with you, I'm looking at, like, shattered glass, and there's an energy that I'm looking at that is showing me inside of a handgun, when they have like a .38 handgun, and you put the 6 bullets in the thing, and the guy is showing this male is actually it's not Angel's Fall, it's a different male. Is showing me the chamber of there, and I don't necessarily want to see what that outcome was in that person's case, but I kind of take it that they left here on their own accountability, which would basically to me be a suicide. So, it's I hope I'm wrong. You know, I know I'm not wrong in what I'm seeing. I just hope that, technically, I really hope it's wrong. And I hope that it's not really with you or anybody that's actually on hold. But there's this male energy that I feel like they were being squeezed. Like their even their career was bothering them. A lot of things were bothering them. It was nothing. So like if to the person who may know this information, it's nothing personal towards you. And I know it's easier said than done by saying that. But it's more like their own inner turmoil and a lot of I feel like the person was kind of mischievous also when they were here. Like just had. But felt that they were guarded and yet felt very guttered by situations. Like they felt that they were. I mean, it happens to the best of people. You know, we all go through stuff, as you know. But this is more like, I think that they just couldn't be here anymore. According to them, not according to me. According to them, they felt they couldn't be here anymore, and it was just too much, too overwhelming. Do you by any chance know a male? I'm sorry to ask this, but do you know a male that took his own life?
I wasn't close to him, but my dad knew him.
That's okay.
This was many years ago.
It's
and
okay.
I'm surprised he's coming through.
Well, no. If you would have heard me when I started at the top of the show, I said that when Angel was asking me about people that come through, I said whether you're close with them, not close with them, had a great relationship with them or not, because the deceased find. When they work with someone like myself, if they have some sort of connection to you, even if it's like, you know, like you're saying that you knew somebody like that, but it's more connected to your father, it's still connected through you. You know what I mean? So
okay.
Who knows what that man's thing is. But I do feel like his whole life was like, you know the character called the Riddler from Batman?
Yeah.
Did you ever see the TV show Batman and how Frank Gorshin, who played the Riddler, wore that thing with all the question marks on it? Same thing when Jim Carrey did the movie for Batman. And so, like, I think there was a lot of questions about this man, and so I don't know why he's coming through in your read. I mean, I could find out really quickly. But if there's something to make amends with, even if it is to do with your father, he might be doing that. Also, I don't know if you're looking to do some – he called you – he's smiling at you, though. This is a compliment to you. He's calling you a recruiter. So I don't know if that means, like, you're a job recruiter or you're going to be recruiting a new job, but there's something – He's referring to your recruiting. He said you have impeccable grammar skills, like with writing, because he's asking me, why aren't you doing more writing? He means you.
Well, I do write. I develop training, so I write training.
You write
and
training?
And I am actually looking for another job. I am looking for work, so maybe that's why he's saying recruiting.
Yeah, he's using the word recruiting, actually, was the word he used. But he also said that your grammar skills are impeccable. They're amazing. They're impeccable. He said that you have many great assets, of course, about yourself, but that's one of the many great assets is, like, your wording and how you word things to people is really amazing and impeccable because you are impeccable to your word. So he told me that's one, like, you have great, you know, the physical features is one thing about you, but the internal being of you has these, which every person on earth does. Every person has great, impeccable parts of them. And you, he said that your thing is the dialogue for you is to use that. That's like your selling point. The way you communicate is, and somebody could say, yeah, that's a thing for a lot of people, and it's true. The way people talk to people is a really great selling point. But it's the way you present it that it makes it so easy. Like you could walk in and think, there's no way I'm going to get hired for this job, and then poof, you get hired. That's what I mean by that.
Oh well, I would love it if that would work in my favor because I'm trying to get a job now. That would be very helpful.
He said between the middle of May and the end of June, in that timeline, it looks like that there is a shift in your – he showed me this beautiful rainbow. There is a shift of in work area of your life. And as far as this man that passed on, he means nothing. I mean, when I say he means nothing, his being around you in your reading today is not to cause any disturbance to you in any way. I think he just wanted to come through for whatever reason.
Oh, well, you know – I mean, it was sad, you know. I did go to his funeral, actually. So I did go.
All he did was just smiled. He said, "Oh, write this." He said for you to write this name down. The name Amy, A-M-Y, even if it's spelled A-M-I, but I'm pretty sure it's spelled A-M-Y. He said that this is an Earth person who is going to have a very strong connection to you, like a sisterhood kind of energy.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. He said
sounds
that
like
she's
maybe
kind
somebody.
Of, yeah, he's a friend. It'll be a friend. He said that she's like, it's interesting. He showed me Julia Louis-Dreyfus, the actress who was mostly known for being on Seinfeld. But when that show ended, Julia had this show called the Adventures of Old. What was it called? Something Event. Old Christine or something was Adventures of Old Christine.
Oh, yeah.
I forget the title. But she, if you looked at that show that Julia was on, not so much her part on Seinfeld, but the other show, that character is kind of like this girl Amy. And I don't really – I remember, of course, Julia's character on Seinfeld because I'm a Seinfeld fan. But the other show that Julia did, I saw like once, so I don't even remember what her character was like on there.
I do.
But if you could find footage of it, you'd kind of see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
Hope
that was funny. Yeah. So that was very interesting that he came through, and I appreciate that reading. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. Just out of curiosity, before you go, was that passing, like I said, when I saw the gun?
Yeah, it was with the gun.
Okay, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I mean, I really was hoping I was wrong on that. I mean, I trust, after all these years, you have to trust the impressions you get, but I was like, oh, man, I don't want to see this guy's ending. So,
yeah.
But he said, and also he told me that your camera, like a camera, you're very good. One other thing, too, before he goes, you're very good at taking photos to camera, to document things. You have something, it's important for you to document things with photos. And he just doesn't mean, like, you know, photographing a legal document. He means, like, things that mean something to you, like, whether it's local by where you are or if you travel, he said that you should always document that in photographs for some reason. It's something of, I don't know, I felt heartfelt about it, is what he's making me feel.
Yeah, photos are important to me.
So, thank you so much for calling.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us. All righty. Thank you. Bye-bye. So, Glenn, I have to tell you, that was really cool. I don't know if the listeners, kind of caught a lot of that and really understood, you know, the process and how you delivered that reading. It was a little different from what I'm used to hearing when I have mediums on the air. And I think what I respect most about your process, you trust the information that's coming to you. You don't try to translate it or define it. You just give it to people, which I feel is really important to me. Can you talk about what that is for you, or what that means for you, or why you do that?
Well, it's very true, Angel, to trust that the impressions you get, even if, like in that case, that was imagery that I really didn't want to see, but you know, he had to use that as sort of recognition to his identity that he was last known as. So then I have to, once that's validated, like somebody that knows somebody like that, like you did with your father, then I'm just allowing the spirit to deliver what they are, especially in this kind of short period of time in a radio show. And I don't know, I just go with it. I just say as what they're saying to me. Yeah.
And
I don't try to fix it or anything like that. And it's not my job to fix it. I just, you know, let it be what it is.
Yeah, I noticed that one of the things I kind of chuckled a little bit as you were giving the reading, because you reached out to Julia Louis-Dreyfus and made the connection. And you're a Seinfeld fan, which makes perfect sense, New York.
Of course.
Seinfeld fan. But then you're like, but it's from this other show, and I don't know the other show. And she knew that show. She's like, I get it. I love that show. I love that character. So
right.
Even
well, The Adventures
yep.
of Old Christine. Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean,
so that was really cool.
Yeah, and it's true. I mean, I'll tell somebody, like, no, I mean, I'm familiar with what that is, but I've never seen it, which is really true. I've only seen that show once when it was on air.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love it. Let's go on to the next caller that we have here for you. Thank you for holding. You are on the air with Glenn. Who are we speaking to?
Hi, this is Bryn, B-R-Y-N, Bryn from New York City.
Hi, Bryn.
Hi, Glenn. So if you're able, I have a great great grandfather on my father's side is a Native American man, and I really know that he's a guide of mine, and if it's possible to connect with him, if not, just whatever comes through. But because I know, you know, you never know who's willing to show up.
Exactly, exactly. So to my fellow New York City resident, if this is him, does the number 42, or possibly maybe 1942, I mean, I realize you said great, 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 you said great great grandfather, right?
I believe so. Yeah, it might be great grandfather. I don't know.
Do you know what 40?
I don't know his name. But I know he's on my father's side. I think it's his mother's side of the family. I think.
I don't know if this is him or somebody else, but somebody had a lot of sisters. Like, they're making me think somebody who had a lot of sisters as siblings. So I'm not sure if that's him or somebody else connected to you or possibly another caller. But I'm linking in with you deliberately because, I'm hearing your voice. So I'm just more deliberately linking in there. It's like somebody is referencing a birthday in April that's coming up.
Yeah.
And I also feel like there is a tragedy also. Like the last call that I dealt with, which I'm sure you may have heard that call. In your family lineage somewhere, there's also a tragedy, but it's also like it's to deal with a woman who had manic depression. Are you familiar with that?
No, but I wouldn't be surprised. You know, you never know, right?
Yeah, there's... No, I think this is somebody that's still alive and actually younger, a younger female who's alive connected to you. But the question is, how is she connected to you? Is she a biological relative or not? But there is a...
Well, I have a sister.
Okay. Have you known her... I'm sorry to ask this. Have you known her to be... depressed quite a bit?
Well, yeah, earlier in life she went through anorexia nervosa, and she had a breakdown, and then she had to go on medication. I at the present moment, I'm living with her, and she's on medication, but she's functional, but she's had a very difficult life, and, there might be some manic depression. I wouldn't be surprised if there's depression, I wouldn't be surprised about that. So that's the closest person I can think of to your description.
Yeah, and so when I'll go back up to the 42 number that I gave to you, you could write that down because maybe that was the man's age or that's something to do with that year, 1942, with the possible one in question that you're asking about, such as the great-grandfather. But there is a... there's a thing that I have. Your sister's an interesting character because she has, when I look at her fingers to me look like what they call piano hands. Like she has these fingers that remind me of piano fingers.
Okay.
And I still keep getting, living in New York, so like how we have 42nd Street here, of course, which is, in Times Square, especially on the west side of it, and then there's the east side of 42nd Street. And this is really weird because now I'm being pulled to that street energetically in my mind. So I still wonder maybe that correlation does go also to your family in some way. But when I get back into your sister really quick, though, I just feel like, whatever you do, shining your light upon her, it's very helpful. You're not responsible for the way she thinks or feels. None of us are responsible for the way anybody thinks and feels. But it's you being there, I think, is a blessing and it's a gift and it's a miracle because. Do you know also if she had miscarried a child?
She aborted a child when she was young. When she was in the midst of her illness.
Okay, I'll accept that in this case. Like, maybe there was a reason why Spirit said it that way than the other way.
Sure.
Not because there's anything wrong with abortion, but maybe they were doing it out of privacy, in for her.
Yeah,
so.
Sure.
But the month of September also has some symbology, and with your sister in particular, coming up this September. So you can just make note
I'll
of it. But
keep that in mind. I don't know what that would be, but we'll know. I'll find out, I guess.
Yeah, and also, was your father a diabetic?
Not that I know of. He was a stage actor in New York City, and he...
On 42nd Street?
I don't know. He didn't do much on 42nd Street, but he did Shakespeare and contemporary drama. He worked with Ilya Kazan on Broadway, and he worked with you know, the Actors Studio teacher Lee Strasberg and all that. But as far as diabetes, I don't remember anything about that.
It's okay. It may be another male figure that somebody's coming through to me that is making me think they were insulin dependent, that they were a male diabetic.
I don't know.
It's okay. I'll leave it with you. But as far as the man that you're inquiring about, I'm not sure if that's the man that was dialoguing with me.
Okay.
But somebody apparently knows about your sister. So it may be. It could have been this other, you know, your father or some other relative. I'm not sure. See, like when I saw Angel's father, the man with the badge, or I saw that other man I just dealt with, I saw them, you know, in my mind. This is more like almost invisible. I just hear it. So, but you've got some it's actually, I think it was a woman that was talking to me. On your maternal side, on your mother's side of the family.
Yeah, my mom is there and my grandmother is there.
I would say the one who would be more, like as my grandma Rose used to say, the tongue has no bones. One who would have no filter to anything.
Oh, okay.
Meaning, you know what that means, right? So you would just say like anything that came to her mind.
Yeah, sure.
Like, if it meant using a curse word, which I'm not going to use on this radio show, it would be almost like, you know, kind of like almost like Judge Judy personality.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not sure about that.
Well, I hope whatever I can was able to give you helped.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Yes.
You know, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you for calling in.
All right.
Thank you. Have a good one. Bye-bye now. So, Every time you talk to people, I'm sitting here making my notes, and I'm like, you know, you got it, you hit on so many different levels. So, if you could give me like 1 minute of some your advice on how people can use this tool. So now I'm talking to you as a client, and you're pulling this information out. How can I best utilize this, or what's the best your best recommendation on a path in which to have a conversation with you so I can actually get information that I can do something with, rather than being shocked, because I'm sitting here shocked as every time you say something like, oh my God, he got the color, oh my God, he got the name of the street, and I could see someone sitting there for an hour just kind of mesmerized, and then they have all their questions when they go home, right? They're done.
Yeah.
What's the
well,
best way?
That 40 seconds thing, I wasn't sure what that really related to. I think it was more than the New York City reference. I think it had to do with maybe someone's age. I kept more thinking it was the year 1942, to be honest with you, in that man's case. And the thing about his sister, for instance, when I kind of got like about, you know, the mental illness and that kind of stuff there, when I mentioned about the person, the male with the diet that to be connected to him that has a with insulin-dependent diabetic, I mean, which he said he doesn't know. And I believe him. It may click with him later, or he may find out that another relative of his was that male that had that passed on. So it's really, and again, because I'm dealing in radio and I'm trying to move fast through the time, it's not like when I'm sitting privately one-on-one where I can dig that out a little deeper from the deceased person, go, okay, come on, you know, help me out. Who is it?
Right.
So I try to do it as fast as I can in this situation.
No, it's really, really good. I'm impressed. Very, very impressed. Very cool. Very cool stuff. So I'm going to take another caller just for giggles and such, because we have a lot of people, and I'd like to hear at least one more example of your work. So we're going to take the next caller. So thank you for holding patiently, and thank you for taking it. Who are we speaking to?
My name is Christina, and I'm calling from California this morning.
Hello, Christina.
Hi. I really am enjoying everything that I'm hearing, and I'm finding it very beneficial and validating for me. And I just wanted to, before I ask a question, just say thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I wrote down what you said. We are all brought together for a reason. At the top of my little journal, and I totally, that resonates with me, and I believe in that. So I just wanted to say thank you. And I had said a little prayer before that if I was supposed to get on, I'm hoping that Archangel Gabriel will come through. I have a 17-year-old son who is in a really dark place, and I'm, you know, doing everything that I can to hold the energy of love and support, but he won't look me in the eyes. He looks down. He doesn't have friends at school, and I see him spiraling down, and I'm worried that there might be a negative attachment there as well, and I just saw something very frightening in the hallway and said nothing, and then my son freaked out a few days later and had seen something really horrifying and slept on my floor, and I've been saging and saying prayers and just saying, okay, I'm, you know, it's time just to do my best to build up his self-esteem. And is there anything that I can do to help him change his vibration and step into happiness, and, you know, help to build up his self-esteem and self-worth?
Wow. Great question. And I have so much empathy and compassion for you as well as for your son having that experience. You know, before Angel took your call, and when I had just finished with the gentleman before you, and so, like, I got this impression, which is going to sound interesting, about a young man, but I saw him in a Batman costume. So I'm still thinking, you know, as you started talking about your son, like, it's him. Okay, he's Batman, in a sense, which is a compliment, by the way. So one of the things, of course, in your environment, yes, saging is great, I mean, and all that, and you feel like you call upon prayers or call upon angels like Archangel Gabriel or Michael or any of these beings, and you can do that. The thing is, it's really just putting love into your environment, which I'm sure you do, of course. You're just saying only love lives here. And that could be anywhere you go. You can just go, love it. I fill this room with love. You can't do it for other people, but you could do it for you. So you can go into a room, whether it's your space in home or any environment, like a supermarket, and just go, you know, I send love here. I permeate love in here, or I bring love in here. Whatever it is that can, whatever those words that come to you in there, and around him, part of it's a little bit of his journey. I keep getting him as, like, this is the analogy I get. It's going to sound a little weird, but I'm going to go with it because I trust spirit. So there's a character called Dr. Zhivago, which was like this movie, and I totally forgot what that whole movie is based on. But he's, your son is like a scientist deep down in his inner being. He is like, I'm looking at Albert Einstein in my mind, which just tells me, scientist, Tesla, these people tell me Tesla, and his inner being as the soul is this scientist, and he's, when he landed here, if you will, or was birthed through you into this third dimension, he's almost like, oh, what is this place? This is not what I expected. So it's almost like ordering pizza from a pizza restaurant and they bring you Chinese food. It's like, what is this? So his thing is not so much about spirit attachments that are around him, entities. There are non-physical entities that sometimes don't fully cross over. That's why I said, like, you can walk around the house, and you don't have to do it all the time. I say, only love lives here. You know, I just thank your home. You know, I love it. All those kinds of things. But non-physical entities generally are not malevolent, even if they were that. Even if they, as a person, they were not maybe the nicest person here on Earth, they generally are not that malevolent once they transition. And they have no more power over you than you do over you, you see? You have your power. Same thing with your son. But part of his experience, what I'm getting, is it's not so much the spirit attachment to him, and I can understand that question because we live in a world of a lot of contrast, duality. Earth people could have an attachment to us more than a deceased person, because an earth person could be more like, why didn't you call me? You know, and make you feel guilty kind of stuff. Deceased people don't do that generally. So with him, I keep getting him was like, if I was talking to him or I met with him, it would be like to honor that inner Batman, as crazy as that sounds. So he's like the scientist, but he's like Batman, where it's like Bruce, the character Bruce Wayne, when he puts on that Batman costume, he goes and he becomes this other character, right? So he has that about him, and I think that he'll start to navigate through there and really find the truth of who he is. But his whole trip really being here is almost like when he got here, it's like coming to Earth and not knowing what to do. You're here and you got here. It's like, what is it? It's like going to another country where they don't speak English, and you're like, okay, I got to learn how to speak their language because they don't understand English, and I don't understand their language. But he's a beautiful young man. He's got a lot of great parts of him that are very aligned to help people that feel very disenchanted, even at times with the world, or it could be even people that feel very disenchanted with the current politics in the world. So he has this innate ability to help people who are feeling that there's no hope in things at times too. And for whatever reason, you know, whether it's, like I said, political or it's the environment or whatever it may be. But he's going to be okay. He's strong. And I think that you just staying strong, staying in your vibration, and just knowing that, you know, even if there was a non-physical entity that went around him that was not of the highest good, which is hard to control that, even sometimes with living people, because you don't know. You could be in a store, and there's people in there, and half the people in that store are angry because they got to wait on a checkout line, you know? So as long as you're maintaining your vibration to the best that you can to be in that happy place for you, it can be of help to him. And I would tell him the same thing for himself. It's but when I look around him, I mean, he doesn't have, like, he has a lot of unique, what he has is around him is non-physical entities. He has a lot of beings that were engineers and scientists and, like, people that could be into aerodynamics, such as, like, astronauts. He has, like, those kind of entities around him. And I think that him being here sometimes, he just feels like a foreigner, like an alien, if you will. And I don't mean alien like from E.T. alien. I mean, like what is this place? That kind of alien.
Thank you for saying that, because he does decode and not only plays but spends most of his time building games from the ground up, doing YouTube channels, videos, stories, music. And I tell him I wish you could look through my eyes, because if you could, you'd see how amazing you are. And I will point out everything about him that I've seen him do. And by the end of the conversation, he starts to look at me and he starts to be uplifted. And I tell him everyone at school is just trying to figure out who they are. And the ones that tear you apart, the truth is, when they're behind closed doors, it's an aunt, an uncle, a mother, or a father, or somebody in their family that's doing it to them. And it makes them feel a little bit better about themselves. And I'm not saying that it's right, but... just know that you're amazing and I love you and I'm here for you, and you didn't leave me when I was bald and I had no hair. You stood by me and I will not ever give up on you. And he just lets me hold him and I love him so much. I just thank you for what you said. It's really helped to validate, like, I thought, okay, you stepped into fear for a minute, but now you are going to point out what you see every moment you have. And when you're with them, look them in the eye. Do things with them. Cook with him. Talk with them. Hang out whenever you're home. Make him feel like the priority, that no matter how busy I am, I will never forget what you need, even if you whisper it to me. And it's, you know, I just want him to feel love. Thank you.
He does. You're welcome. Thank you for sharing that and to having the courage to share that so other people can hear your story and his story. It's empowering. And you're a wonderful mother for being who you are and doing what you're doing. And just know that there's nothing wrong with him. If I saw spirit attachments around him, I would tell you. I mean, the only spirits, like, I really do see that are around him mostly are beings, like I said, like an Albert Einstein kind of beings, that they're just are there. And him just, you know, it's again, and I'll tell you to say this really quick, it's like in our current world of technology, which is great in one hand and a little out of hand in other ways, this is my personal opinion on that, there's also could be the feeling of, like, you know, trying to relate. Again, it's more now than when you and I were children. And, you know, you're trying to relate in that kind of world too around kids. But when I was a little kid, even when I saw the kids looking to taunt another kid or tease another kid because that kid had maybe a disability or something, I never liked those kind of kids at all. meaning the kids that were bothering kids that had a disability or anything like that, the bullies, if you will. But they've always been around, people that have done that. It's just now because, you know, it seems more out there, but that can't stop, you know, him from living his life or anything like that, or anybody living their life. But it's important that, like I said, he'll be okay. And I saw him helping a lot of people that were felt maybe disenfranchised, even if it was a child who wanted to be transgender. And I could see him accepting that person wholeheartedly.
So, oh, thank you, because I always tell him, you're going to get through this, and when you do, there are so many other people who are going to be healed, because you're going to mentor and share in all the creative, fun, loving ways that you are. And so many different types of people love you, and you are standing alone in your conviction. When your friends graduated and the other ones got into drugs, you told me, Mom, I got into sketching. And you're standing alone because you're not willing to compromise your values and your morals. And I love you. And you gave me courage as a grandmother to go back to school, because my oldest is 33 and youngest is 13. And I said, you helped me to believe in myself. And I love you. And you're doing great things, but you're unaware of it right now. I just try to just say, God, help speak through me to him, whatever he needs to hear. And sometimes I'm just as amazed as he is at what's coming out of my mouth, and I know that they're speaking through me, and it is the truth, and I love him.
Of course, because anytime that any of us speak from the heart, and you want to call it God, divine source, love, universe, whatever you want to call it, anytime that we're speaking from the heart, like when I do readings, I'm looking to speak from my heart. You know, I'm getting the images in my mind, of course, but when you're in, like as you are right now, speaking from your heart, that's where we really are effective with other people. And that's a beautiful thing. So God bless you and your family.
Thank you. Many blessings.
Yes, thank you so much for calling in. You have a fantastic day.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was awesome.
Thank you. And I also just want to say, you know, to anybody who's listening, that I do have a page on Facebook that if anybody wants to, you know, feel free to, I don't like to say follow my page, but, you know, if you want to friend my fan page on there, my business page, whatever you want to call it,
well,
it's
absolutely
easy.
It's time for the glorious advertising period for you since you're on the radio. So absolutely, if you want to let them know where to contact you on Facebook, your website, or even if you have any offerings or anything like that, please do. Let the listeners know.
Yeah, my website's named after me, which, you know, is in that probably in your link for the show. And then the Facebook page, if they just search by my name, they'll see it's, you know, Glenn Klausner. They'll see that on Facebook.
Well, it's actually linked on the bottom of your – if you go to the website, it is linked. You'll see the website link there on the program. If you go to the bottom of his homepage, you have a little click here. You click here and go to Facebook, which is really cool. A lot of really cool stuff on the page. Love your website. It's very simple. A lot of people's websites are really, really complex. And I don't know if you noticed it with the last caller, but there was a lot of interference during that particular segment. And what I was getting was lots of overly stimulated. And you spoke to it when you talked about all the stuff that technology brings. Mm-hmm. Once we open ourselves up to the technology, we now open ourselves to all the stimulation. Is that different? As you're saying that you've been doing this since the 90s, it was different in the 90s than it is today.
Yeah.
How does that work for you? Or what do you have any insights that you can share?
I think it's just knowing how to really use the technology to – I mean, to each person, I'm not going to tell people how to use technology, but for myself, I use it in a very, like when you said about my website's very simple, I prefer it to be very simple. And same thing with my Facebook page, like I don't put a lot, really, I just recreated it, so I haven't put really any content there. I do the best to, I guess growing up, because when I grew up, you know, I went outside my house and I played, and I did things, or if I when I was home, I was doing things like music or drawing, and then, you know, I used my time kind of constructively in a lot of ways. And there was no, granted, I wasn't, when I was a kid, there was no Facebook, there was no cell phone. Now, you know, you have all that, and again, it's a great tool to use. But at the same time, you can see how fast just being on that, your time can go very quickly. And if you use, and I think if you're using it in a way that's positive and constructive, then it's helpful. If it's just there to, sometimes people just, you know, feel lonely and they want to connect with people. And it's all those things that there's nothing wrong with it. I just feel like I think if you're getting into that world of social media and reading everybody's stuff, that stuff can affect you, whether you're reading about, you know, what happened in Australia recently with those fires and that whole thing, and that affected me even because of all the animals that had passed. But if you're too much, I mean, maybe into what everybody's doing, and you're allowing those things, their thoughts and their opinions, their streams of consciousness to affect you, it can affect the nervous system. I've seen it happen to me. It can create anxiety. I'm not looking to put a negative there to the end of the show. I'd rather go on a positive note. But at the same time, if you go into it, I think, from a loving place, like, I'm going to go on Facebook or wherever the social media network is, and I'm going to have fun. I'm going to go on here, and I'm going to have fun. I'm going to use this place to have fun. I'm not going to use this place to make it depressing. I mean, not to say that, hey, listen, somebody died in your road. Hey, my mother died, and you're sharing that with your people. I'm not saying not to write that. But I think if you're using it in that way, like, I'm going to go on here and have fun with this thing. I'm going to enjoy it. Just like you would go outside and enjoy riding a bicycle, you know, and not making drudgery out of it, then that's
right.
That's the healthy part of it.
Right. I love it. And so I'd like to know if you would like to give, since we're coming to a close, any insights to our community that's listening as to where we are, where we need to go, what we need to lift up, or, you know, anything that you'd like to leave us with. Ooh, yeah, see, I asked
this question. Wow, that's a very good question, because it goes back to what I was saying before, like, even social media. I don't want to tell people, like, how to live their life and what they should think and feel and do. It's because each person has their own free choice and free will to know themselves through contrast, even, because that's part of being here. So how to – for me, I'm a big fan of that old Beatles song, All You Need Is Love. Love
I like
is all
that.
You need.
So far, I'm a fan.
Yeah, and I say, like, love is like Lenny Kravitz song, let love rule. But even a dad, like, I don't feel it's my place to do that with people. If you feel, the people listening feel, love feels good, right? Because we relate to the word. Hate does. Sometimes hate can feel good to people, too. You know, like, you're like, oh, I hate that TV show. And you're like, you know,
true.
But it doesn't have to be bad. So they're just words that we give power to those words, love and hate, and the energy to it. But if you – I think the most important thing is knowing that we're here for a certain amount of time, and if you – we, and this is a lesson to myself, too, that if we can enjoy our time here and enjoy, like, what we do have in our life that is such as that we got up and got out of a bed this morning and there's shelter and there's food, and even there's so many people that, you know, as you know, don't have that – I think it's just really appreciating what we have as opposed to what we don't have, because the more we're feeling like mad that we don't have maybe a relationship or a new car or whatever it may be or more money, we're just going to keep getting more disappointed and go further down and be sadder. And I think so it's when we're appreciation and gratitude for what we do have, it really helps us to have more bliss in our life.
Right. I love it, and I think that what I'm hearing you say is we have to be joyous. We have to reflect joy, yes?
Joy, but also at this time, there are times when people are in certain situations and they don't feel joy, and I would say to honor that, to also honor, like, if you feel, I go through the same emotions that everybody else does, anger, sadness, and I think it's important to honor those times when we feel angry and sad, whether it's towards ourselves or towards someone else, but then it's, you know, because again, it's hard. Like, happiness comes and goes, right? Every day has these different things. You could be happy for 5 minutes about something, and then the next minute you're not happy for the next 3 hours.
Right.
And so, I think it's just honoring where you're at in that moment, but being able to be the key, I would say, is to be, for everybody listening, is to be gentle and compassionate with yourself first and foremost. Do the best to be that for yourself.
That's beautiful. Well, I thank you so much for coming on the show. I would love to have you back. So many people here were not able to get on. So, again, visit his website. You'll see the link there. We're going to say our goodbye. So say a good goodbye to everybody, Glenn.
Tobias, thank you, Angel, for having me on.
Thank you so much. Thank you for coming, and I'm looking forward to possibly having you on again. That was a lot of fun.
I would love to be. Love to be.
Okay.
So thank you.
Oh, great. Thank you. Take care, everybody.
Much love, everybody.
Have a good Sunday. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Welcome to New Age Guild Radio.
We are a growing community striving to bring you new age and holistic practitioners, news, resources, and trending information from across the community. We welcome your feedback and suggestions.